Are you like me and a tiny bit scared when it comes to social media advertising? Personally, the whole thing completely overwhelms me. Like, is it better to feature videos or images? And what type of offers should I promote to ensure the greatest return on investment? And what's a reasonable amount to spend on social media advertising per month? All of these questions and more are answered in today's episode of Marketing and Me. I'm chatting with Amiya Bauer from One Earth Marketing, who is a pro when it comes to all this stuff. And it involves a very cool and in-depth strategy. So grab your pen and paper and let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. The show features a beautiful blend of guest and solo episodes covering marketing and business growth topics, as well as ways to improve your physical, mental, and emotional self. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I run a health and wellness copywriting agency while also offering content marketing training. So whether you're keen to outsource or DIY, my team at Right Time Marketing is here for you. Either way, we'll ensure your message is seen and heard by your ideal client. So if you're keen to connect, feel free to book a free 15-minute chat after this in today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by guest, Amiya Bauer. Welcome, Amiya.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, Leanne.
Great to have you. So I'll just read out your bio so everyone knows who you are. So Amiya's mission started with a plastic dump and a marketing degree. At 23, she moved her life to India to fight plastic and poverty through ethical recycling. She recognized the power of social media to create social change, and One Earth Marketing was born. So One Earth Marketing uses targeted, authentic Facebook ads to grow ethical brands or people online. Her clients include the United Nations, Lysio Rehab, My Care Space, and more. Very, very cool there. Especially the United Nations. How did you get that?
Yeah, that was a big dream of mine since I was a little kid. So I was a United Nations member, connected with the marketing director there, and just sort of showed her what we could do. And because, I've had quite a history of humanitarian marketing, it was a very easy fit. But yeah, it's remarkable, these things, that when you start to really go after types of brands that align with you or companies or causes, you really start to generate attraction for the things that you want. So yeah, that was a really great connection there.
Love it. So yeah, can you share a little bit more about your business journey? What brought you to where you are today?
I say my business journey almost started off when I was a little kid. I used to rip out pot plants from my mum's garden and sell them on the side of the road. So I've always been selling things. And I also grew up a Christian. So I've always had this understanding that giving back to other people and supporting communities and people was a really important thing to do as a human. And when I found out about marketing, I remember I was looking up Wikipedia about what I should study, and marketing was just, I don't know, 17-year-old self was like, this is it. This is exactly what I need to do. I've been doing it ever since. So definitely started off more on the corporate side. So working for companies like Microsoft, Ogilvy PR, a bunch of different organizations and brands. So that really got me understanding how to sell a product and what goes into selling higher end products. And then, yeah, it just all hit me where I had this almost moment where I wanted my purpose and my skills to align. And then I went on this massive journey overseas, living and working in villages, doing a lot of volunteer work, trying and testing out different things. During that time, I also fell into becoming a wellness practitioner, and I studied Thai massage, became a yoga teacher as well. And, you know, pretty much whatever you can think of with soul searching, I tried it. And then in the end came out with the most beautiful representation of what I want to do well in the world, which is One Earth Marketing. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey.
Oh, that's beautiful. It's like your own little April Love experience.
I would sum it up with marketing, massage, and people like that. That's how I'd kind of sum up the past years of my life. Those three things that I'm passionate about coming to life through a business.
I love it. And what drove you towards the ad side of things?
Ads are such a powerful way for anyone, huge corporation to small business, to authentically reach their audiences, grow their revenue, and target exactly who they want to target. I mean, I find it mind-boggling that businesses, you know, don't at least try it out, because imagine if you could say, I want to target wellness practitioners in the Sydney region with this message and this offer, and I want them to sign up to my course and grow my revenue. Like, wouldn't you want to do that? It's such a no-brainer for me. And I've been doing marketing for many years, and ads were the most powerful, fastest way to grow a cause or a mission or someone's company. And I just love being able to say, hey, look, we tripled your revenue this month, or we tripled your course sales, or, you know, have those really tangible results. Because I was finding when I was doing a lot of organic posting and, you know, like posting on Instagram and posting some things on Facebook, and I would just find it was a lot of vanity metrics and lots of likes, but no money coming in the door for these businesses. And I just wanted to cut straight to the core and help grow businesses through social media. And yeah, so it really dialed in on the ad side.
So I've heard that ads are most successful though if you do have a strong organic like strategy. Is that true?
Well, I am a bit of a stealth marketer in a way, because if I was to start a business, I would sort of make sure that my social channels looked presentable. But instead of spending a year growing organically, hoping for the best, putting messages into the wind and hoping and praying that your target market might possibly see it, I'd rather walk up to the doorstep of my target market and be like, hey, like, this is what we do, and this is how we can help you in an engaging, authentic way. I think lots of people, you know, this is just my opinion, and as I've just seen it work. So it's a lot of marketers would come after me for this. But if I had one thing to choose to do with marketing, I would definitely run ads, because that not only increases brand awareness, but you get straight to your target market, straight to them with value. You can quickly grow your business. Yeah, we've had businesses that signed up for a month, you know, like gotten sales, and the marketing has just paid for itself within a month. Like, that doesn't always happen, but it's I find that more effective and more exciting than posting on Instagram hoping that people see it and you grow a brand presence.
And do you think ads work better if it's a course versus a cause, like a fundraiser versus just for projects? Is there a particular type of ad that seems to attract people more?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's not actually the type of ad, it's actually the funnel that you implement. So the funnel, for anyone who doesn't know, is basically the journey that your customer takes to get to the final result. So you start them off, if you start them off by saying, hey, buy my product, it's very aggressive and you might alienate them, and they probably won't do that. But it's sort of like when you're getting to know someone in dating, you don't just say, hey, come home with me. You say, hey, my name is X. This is what I'm interested in. Tell me about yourself. And you sort of go through the process. So if you implement a funnel or this customer journey that's, you know, starts off with brand awareness and then moves into education, and then moves into offering something to your audience, like maybe a lead magnet or a free resource or a free consulting call, and then you move them into the, hey, do you want to buy this higher end product? by then they're interested. They know, like, and trust you, and they're ready to go. But if you were just like, hey, spend $2,000 on my course, you know, you will get very few results with
that. That's what I thought. Like, I look, somehow, by the way, my Facebook newsfeed, I did not get ads. I don't know how I bypassed it, but somehow I have.
Yeah, maybe you have an ad blocker on or something.
I have no idea, but I see them on Instagram. I see them on LinkedIn, so I know, like, what people are talking about, but I don't have it in my Facebook newsfeed somehow. I don't know.
That is a miracle. Congratulations.
It really is. I know. And I'm like, okay, Facebook will have me now. No, I've sent it to a few people. I don't know, because I actually, for my own research, would like to see it.
So you can actually see that. I'll give you a little hack here. So you go onto Facebook ad library and you type in any industry, any name of a brand, and all of those ads come up. So you could go into Facebook ad library, Google wellness, and then all the ads in Australia of wellness brands that are posting will come up, and you can see them and you can look at what they're posting. And it's particularly good when you think, you know, a brand's doing really well. You can look at their ads, and usually brands that are quite larger, that are doing very well, selling a lot of product, they'll have social media ads running. So yeah, really awesome way to do that.
Oh, okay. That's a really good tip. And do you have any other tips for someone who's getting started with social media ads?
Yeah, this is another one of my favorites. So you should not be writing copy like you're writing copy as a brand. You know, don't be corporate, don't be wishy-washy, don't use jargon. Write copy like you're writing as someone who's struggled with the same things and, you know, gone through the same thing. So I know that sounds a little bit broad, but a way to do that is you go on Facebook groups or, you know, forums or Reddit or Quora, and you look at what people are talking about. So complaint sections or, you know, Facebook groups, people say, for instance, it's like a gardening page and people are complaining a lot about their soil and saying, oh, you know, like, don't know why my soil is eroding things, and don't, like, I live in this sort of area and this keeps happening to me. And you're a gardener, and you can come up with an ad based off, you know, those customer insights that you just found online. It's not like you need to get a massive social listening tool. Just go into those Facebook groups, see what people are complaining about, and then afterwards you'll be like, maybe I should be selling a product that helps people with their soil. And then you can sort of start to build your campaigns based off your customers' wants, needs, desires, complaints, the way they speak, rather than your own. And that will, like, transform your campaigns.
Yeah. And so do you help with the campaign, like the lead magnets and the whole journey as well, the funnel?
Yeah, every step of the way. So when someone comes to us, they tell us exactly what they want, and then, you know, we manage the whole thing. So it's not like they have to constantly keep on, you know, chasing us up. It's hard when people outsource things. It's almost like trying to let go of a little bit and also trusting. And often they can get a bit burnt when they go through, you know, Fiverr or these bad outsourcing platforms. So it's really important with your ads, because they're reaching hundreds of thousands of people. Don't cheap out on ads. That's your brand, and that's really important. And for the lifetime of a campaign, you could be reaching, yeah, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So you don't want to be putting out dodgy marketing. Yeah, I definitely work alongside with founders, really closely with them. And often, you know, we'll sort of strategize together and build and workshop the campaign together, just especially at the start, to make sure that they're really getting their mission across and their true brand voice. And I find that that sort of collaboration, you know, we're still doing the work, but they're sort of like, we're their messenger in a way. I kind of love that tag team approach of working with the founders. Yeah,
I'm a bit the same. If, like, copywriting, people sometimes say, oh, yeah, I'll just, you know, hand this over and dump on you and just write it, right? And I'm like, no, it needs to be collaborative. I can try it into your brain as well as I can, but ultimately I'm not you. I need you to kind of give feedback and I'll go on the right track. And, yeah, it has to be collaborative for sure. But, yeah, because I haven't tried the Facebook ad thing, because for me personally, I tried it once in an old job and it was so straightforward. Now there's all like the pixels and it just, so basically I know, is it basically better for someone to outsource it to get a proper job done rather than trying to stumble through a DIY kind of approach?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I of course take all of this advice as I am a marketing founder, so I'm obviously biased, but I even outsourced my own ads. So I know that sounds a bit contentious, but you're so stuck in your own business and your own mindset, and you don't know what, you know, it's very hard to put out your offer in the marketplace. So I get help with my own marketing, mainly because I need that, you know, external view, and you get very emotional with your business. It's like your child. So it's hard to sort of like step out. You like, you think your business is the best and it's like gold stars all around, but you need that outside perspective and just someone to
ground you.
Yeah. Just to be like, look, your child is annoying and needs help. And especially like my, you know, where my business started and how important it is to me, I think I can get a little bit emotionally attached. So I definitely find just even that, you know, outsourcing, talking to a professional about your ads, that really helps. But also when you outsource to a professional, it just changes your business. You know, you have this consistent flow of leads, you have a funnel, you don't have to like rely on random referrals. You have this like very good steady flow of business coming in, and every month that you do ads it gets better and better, and you understand your market more, you understand your messaging. It also like contributes to your whole branding and your brand voice. Like when you just outsource the setup part, you don't get all of that, but when you really go through the brand and the strategy and you create that, it infiltrates the rest of your marketing, and you can use that in email sequences, landing pages, social media posts, organic, and those offers. It's not like, you know, you use it once and it's gone. That becomes part of your business and your infrastructure.
Yeah. So what kind of, because it sounds very involved. It's awesome. I honestly didn't know all that was happening behind the scenes. I thought it's like, oh yeah, write a couple of blurbs and we just help you put it up and monitor, monitor it.
Sometimes people do it like that, but yeah, it definitely would feel like selling people short if they only got that side of ads, because there's so much more power to them.
Yeah, because I'm loving the sound of all the back end stuff, because I'm guilty of not having great sales funnel set up. It's pretty much people come in, oh cool, you heard me from there, great, then I have a process once they come to me, but I don't have a lot working in the background, just haven't gotten around to it. So that's something, though. I'm getting a new website, just got my new branding redone, so that's kind of on the cards for this year. So yeah, you know, I'm going to reach out to you
somewhere. It's not too hard to set up a sales funnel, so I could go through your funnel right now if you like. So basically, if I was to do your marketing, I would start off with, so obviously at the start of a funnel you need traffic, so at the moment you have a really strong network, which is like your referral traffic, so you kind of got that sorted, but you sort of need a larger source of traffic, you know, reaching people. So I would, for your business, the wellness world, a lot of wellness practitioners are using Instagram. Wellness is huge on Instagram. So I would start you off doing a traffic campaign on Instagram, creating stories around how, you know, educating your audience about how to transform your wellness business through marketing. And then you would retarget all those people who watched those ads or went through them. You'd retarget them to the next page of a stage of download this free resource to help you. So you've educated them and inspired and engaged them in the start of the funnel, and then you've given them something of value. And then a couple of days later, you know, you've got this warm list of leads. And the way Facebook marketing and Instagram marketing works is you can retarget everyone who's like clicked on something, downloaded something, interested in something. So you've got all these interested people, there's like hot market, hot group of leads. And then you would say, book in a discovery call with me, or, you know, or that could be like the, you know, final thing. And then you can convert them on the phone. But it's like not a crazy process. You know, I think people can overcomplicate ads. So really it's like, how, right, where is your audience? What do you want to say to them? How do you want to help them? And what's that high value offer that you can give them? Because you're not like your customers aren't on social media to be to read ads. They're on social media to be educated, inspired, informed, like many marketers know these top three things. You just inspire them, educate them, and inform them at the top of the funnel, and then offer them something of value. And then you can sort of convert them when they're through the funnel.
That's awesome. Yeah, it sounds pretty straightforward. Because once I'm on the phone to them, if they've already kind of got a good feel for who I am and what I'm about. And so it should ideally be linked to, okay, just for example, I wouldn't ideally promote the podcast via an ad because that's hard to kind of look at ROI. Is that right? You kind of want to do something so the discovery call, I have to kind of lead them towards a project or a training course or something like that to properly measure the results, yeah?
No, you could actually use the discovery call as the lead magnet. So usually like agencies, social media agencies, the way that they often create their funnel is, so they'll start off by, educating, inspiring and informing, generating interest in this pool of people. And then they'll move the other people down with more of an offer. So, hey, we help scale businesses through XYZ, book in a free strategy call and we'll audit your account for you. So you're offering them something, but then that's also a moment where you get them on the phone. And like, I know, like I've booked in plenty of calls with and hired people based off this really simple marketing funnel. I think if people are interested in seeing that in action, King Kong Marketing, they have an incredible marketing funnel. So aggressive. Their ads are like, their ads are amazing. I probably wouldn't say my style is as like, guerrilla marketing, but yeah, it's just incredible. So they have these like highly engaging educational ads with long form copy. And then afterwards, they get people to book in a free strategy call. So people interested in this book in the free strategy call. And they on this call as well, like I've done this call, they're amazing. They just talk you through your strategy. They give you education. They give you advice. And they don't sell like traditional marketers. They sell like they are, I don't know, just educating you. And then it's almost like you need me, I don't need you, which is an approach that a lot of my clients now have been able to take because they're
desperate for work.
Yeah, they're in this stage now where we've been able to create such good offers for them that people are just coming to them now, and it's not like it's not like please buy this product and like with these shitty ads. It's like, hey, our offer is so good, you can't refuse it.
I'm gonna try it probably for my next marketing boot camp or something. So you can do a mixture of copy based and video based ads, is that right?
Yeah, so it's all about understanding your market and what resonates with them. So if you just go straight into ads, posting like going rogue on Facebook Ads Manager and posting like a madman, then it's not going to convert, obviously. But if you do prior research where you understand your target market, understand your competitors, see what they're posting, and going into Facebook Ad Library actually and seeing those ads that are performing really well, and then creating personas based off that. So what are your clients, what are your customers' pains, fears, desires, concerns? And then you'll sort of understand where they hang out online, and you can interview a few people as well. And then afterwards, that's how you choose. You never start tactics first. You always start macro and go into the micro, because you know what? It doesn't bloody matter what format it's in. It just matters if you fully have deep understanding of your target market and what they really want. And then you also have that compelling offer that they can't refuse. Because I don't know, if there was like a hair on fire problem that you needed to solve and someone got you at the right time in the right place, you'd be like, cool, this is what I need. You wouldn't really think twice about it. So it doesn't really matter if it's like a GIF or a video. It just matters understanding your market and knowing your offer.
So interesting. And so Okay, so you do mostly Facebook and Instagram. Is there like a
what's the difference? No, all of them. So
you do all of them, yeah. What's one of the differences? And when would you? I mean, they're health and wellness business owners. You were saying before Instagram's ideal. Is it worth trying LinkedIn, TikTok? Do you do all the channels at once, or focus a campaign on one particular channel first, and then have a look?
Yeah, we do a channel analysis for companies, so we would never be like do every channel. That would be wild, and also eat up ad budget. So often at the moment we're able to run ads on Spotify, TikTok, Pinterest, niche channels as well. I've even set up like Wikipedia pages for people, so like there's lots of different approaches, but I would say if your business has been around for a while, what you don't like, the 80-20 rule is really good to implement when it comes to social media, because you need to look at your business and be really honest with yourself and be like, I know I've been, you know, doing this marketing for a really long time, but actually 80% of the result comes from 20% of my activities. So what are those 20%? Where have I gotten business? Where have I driven revenue? Like I don't care about likes, engagements, whatever. I care about that, you know, that revenue driving needle turning part of the business. And I mean, brand awareness is important, but you can still do that through ads. So I think, yeah, I'd like to focus on that 20% of what drives revenue. And then just sort of call the rest, and keep going with that 20% and scale that 20%. So say, for instance, you know, like a business owner might have posted something on Pinterest, it went viral and she got a lot of business from it. So then she just dials in on that, starts running ads on that, and then just scales it from there, rather than trying to scale across every channel. So yeah, doing a channel analysis is really important. Also doing a business analysis of what has worked for you in the past and how to scale success rather than put your fingers in too many pies. And then also looking at your competitors. There's a few tools online where you can actually see where your competitors are spending most on ads. And then you can sort of look and see what they're doing, and if they're like very aligned with who you are, they would have done all that research already and made the mistake, so you don't have to. So yeah,
that's ideal. Okay, so talking budget, how much minimum and or how much optimal for optimal results, or is it kind of how long's a piece of string, should people spend every month on like the social media ads?
Yeah, so you can spend as little as $10 a day and still get quite an awesome result. So just firstly, like the first part of all of it is has a business owner allocated time to strategize, understand their market and offer? That's like number one. And if they go into ads without doing that, then they will waste every cent. So do they know their market? Do they have a good offer? So once they have that, they're ready to go. So then afterwards, I would say, you know, you can spend anywhere from like $500 a month, Facebook ad spend, which like includes Instagram, obviously. TikTok is a little bit cheaper because it's like new platform. LinkedIn is targeted, but more expensive. And then Pinterest is a bit cheaper as well. And then Google is sort of similar to Facebook in pricing. So, yeah, I would say stick with one or two platforms. Start off pretty small and just test your messaging. So test, see what resonates, see what's, yeah, if you don't have much of a budget, then don't go, like don't spend everything on your first ad campaign because it might not resonate. So sort of test and see what's engaging, see what your market likes, and you know, scale slowly.
And what, like you mentioned Spotify before, I know like radio and TV ads traditionally were quite expensive. Is that, how's that kind of rate among all the others?
Spotify ads are so cool actually. So basically Spotify, you send in a script to the team and they have all the professional recording stuff. So you don't even need to record your voice. You just record, they record it for you. So it's like,
like a 20 awesome. Second thing is like, oh, 10 seconds.
Yeah, like there's lots of different types, but yeah, you can basically send in your script, they'll get it recorded for you and they post it as an ad. So that's really one of the easier ones to set up. It's almost like as easy as booking an overseas trip or something.
Ah, well, these days it's not always easy.
Minus COVID.
Very cool. So yeah, so if you say you spent $500 on ads though, and but you if you've got someone like yourself, Mia, to help out, is it like another couple of $100 or $500 or $1,000 to get someone to do it for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because there's so much that goes into creating an ad campaign. Mm-hmm. You're designing, you're copywriting, you're customer persona researching, you're running, you're creating a strategy, you're creating an offer, you're creating a funnel, doing the setup, data analysis, optimizing and reporting. So it's like a real intense process. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. Mm-hmm. They think, oh, ads, you know, I post, you know, picture on Facebook, surely it's like that.
Yeah.
It's you're almost like a data manager, designer, copywriter, all these things in one. So yeah, of course we charge a servicing fee, but that would be wild. Like, and it's like definitely a lot more than $500. So it's like about $2,800 per month. But that, yeah, that is like we've never not had success from setting up people's ads.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you look at your return on investment and what you need to get to cover it. And so, mm-hmm. if you've got a big course or something which is worth like say $1,500 or $1,000, you need a few people to sign up and you've covered it. And mm-hmm. obviously, you know, trust that you're going to do a great job, Mia. So it's like, oh well, I'll get like at least 20. So you mm-hmm. cover it back like very, very easily. Because that's I haven't done the ads because I've come in scared of the gamble or just not had the extra cash to invest into it. But I think I really want to build up my training stuff this year, so I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty like we really treat clients' businesses like our own. It's interesting. We'll look into the first time we start working with someone, we say like, right, what the hell are we selling first of all? Being really clear on that, how much does it cost? And then we work out our KPIs for the campaign based off how much their product costs, how much we need to sell to not only like pay for the marketing fees, but like double that cost. So yeah, that's kind of how we will base our first goals. And then as we do that, the marketing starts to pay for itself. So that's good.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, it's so much great advice here. Thank you so much for all this. It's amazing. So I always ask my guests these questions. And the first one is, what's the best marketing method for your business?
For whose business?
Yours.
Mine. My best marketing method, well, I am very biased. Once again, I would say ads.
I assumed you would say that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being able to target exactly who you want at the right time with the right message and, you know, fill up your appointment book if you want to, it's just incredible. So I've been in my first year of business this year, so I'm only just starting to getting into running my own ads. I'm just very excited about it because I think, it's time to sort of implement everything we're doing and the success that we're having on my own business. So, yeah, definitely social media ads.
Actually, a side question for that. Should someone wait until they have a minimum amount of cash flow before they invest? Or you think as long as they're clear of what the KPIs and the return investment, then it's fine to invest in it?
It depends on what sort of business.
Yeah.
Because some service-based businesses, they can rely on a couple of revenues, a bit of revenue from, you know, referrals, and then, you know, they're on retainers. I started an e-commerce business a couple of years ago, and the first thing I did was set up ads for it because that's a no-brainer. It's like you want to reach target market who wants your product, you set up ads. You don't, message people on LinkedIn and hope they refer you. So it's kind of like a different process. But, yeah, I would say if you are a service-based business, you know, if I was a chiropractor and I wanted to get more people to sign up to my clinic, it'd be such an easy ad campaign to set up. Target local area, people with neck pain, back pain, you're done.
Yeah, easy peasy. And so how do you take care of your health and wellness now?
So I briefly touched on it before, but I'm a massage therapist with 4 years of massage experience in Lana Thai stretching massage, which is an incredible, very spiritual form of massage. And it's just changed my life so much. It's I don't talk about it that much because I guess I'm in the marketing world, but it's changed the way that I see humans, the human body, stretching, movement. And every time, so I'm actually giving them massage, but it's a meditation and a prayer for me as well. And I'm moving and stretching my body as I stretch someone else. So it's sort of this like symbiotic, beautiful process. So that would, I would say that changed my whole wellness journey. I do yoga every day. And like a classic, you know, Sydney girl, I drink like green smoothies, go to the beach, do yoga. I'm always wearing yoga clothes. And so that's definitely something. And then I'm also, became a Reiki practitioner too. So that whole energy healing. And honestly, without a good attitude, without a good energy, you know nothing is possible. If you wake up and you feel like in a bad mood and you feel like shit, you're not going to want to exercise or eat healthy or do any of the other stuff. So I find, you know, that like soulful, spiritual, energetic stuff, starting with that, feeling good and moving into, you know, exercise and eating well from there.
Oh, that's awesome. I haven't had a Reiki treatment in many years, but I know that's the energy. And what you're saying about massage, I know massage therapists are like, oh, it takes so much out of me. But obviously that type of massage that you do, it's very different to that.
It's so sad to hear. I feel like it really fills my cup and gives me lots of like joy. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And how can people connect with you?
They can go to www.oneearthmarketing.com and you can book in a free consultation with me and we can run through your ads, and I'm happy to give you any free guidance or advice about your marketing funnel. Or you could email me at mia@oneearthmarketing.com if you want to ask any questions. And I'm always happy to help small businesses or wellness practitioners. You don't need to sign up as a client, but I really know what it's like to start a business and be a little bit confused. So yeah, happy to help.
Oh, it's amazing. Thank you so much. It's so great having you on. So much great information there.
So I'm so sorry my voice is so croaky at the moment. So it's very monotonal, but no. Yeah, sorry, I had to listen to the
totally fine. It's about the message, not the method. But thank you, Mia. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, Leanne.
And thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. If you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via your podcast platform of choice. And grab a screenshot of this episode and share it across your socials to get the message out there. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton and let me know you're a fan of the show. You can also find me on Instagram under LeanneShelton247 or book in a free 15-minute chat. Because I'd absolutely love to chat about how I can help you grow a thriving health and wellness business. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.